In the passage that we just Pastor Mark had read a while ago, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, we will explore for our edification and spiritual benefit for tonight, particularly verse 9, because this has a lot to say on prayer and how we can explore prayer as it contains in the heart of the Apostle Paul for the Colossians. So that initially I would like to explain to you, Paul was exposing in this book a heresy in the Colossian church that was similar to Gnosticism. Gnostics valued the accumulation of knowledge, but Paul pointed out that knowledge in itself is empty. To be worth anything, this knowledge must lead to a changed life and right living. His prayer for the Colossians has two dimensions. First, that they might be filled with the knowledge of God's will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. Secondly, and that they would bear much fruit in every good work. In summary, all the prayers of Paul are contained in these verses, in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 9 to 14. Verses 9 to 14. But I will explore tonight with you verse 9. But to give you all the summary of his prayers for the Colossians, here are they. There are six of them. These prayers teach us how to pray for others, whether we don't know them or not. That's why it's a good encouragement for us to learn from his prayers for the Colossians. And his prayer for the Colossians are the following: that they will bear good fruit, not just fruit, but they will bear good fruit, and that they will grow in the knowledge of God, that they will be filled with God's strength, not any other form of strength from exercise or what, but God's strength, and also that they will have a great endurance and patience, and that they will also stay with the fullness of Christ's joy. And then lastly, giving thanks always for all the benefits which are in Christ's inheritance for us all. So all believers have this same basic needs. That's why when we pray together, we must learn like Paul in their prayer, not just for sickness, but to remember the objects, the different aspects of his prayer, which, as I had mentioned already, they are all in verse 9 to 14. So all believers, as I said a while ago, have the same basic needs. That's why we need to really explore those needs when we pray, not just one aspect of the person we're praying about. So when we don't know, or when you don't know how to pray for someone, for instance, let us learn from Paul's prayer pattern for the Colossians, which are bearing good fruit, growing the knowledge of God, being filled with God's strength, have a great endurance and patience, staying full with Christ's joy, and always giving praise and thanksgiving to God. Now, quickly, in his prayer, you will notice in verse 9, which I ask you to take notice of in your Bible. For this cause, he says, we also, since the day we heard it. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the best prayer that you can hear from any or for the foremost and prayerful servant of God like Apostle Paul. What better prayer, I'll ask you, could be prayed than this? That tonight you will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. So, noticing Paul's prayer in this passage, each of us has a wonderful ability to minister to each other, because when we come together to pray for each other, even though when we do not see each other, God listens to our prayer. And we, even though when we don't see that person praying for his or her behalf, we are assured by God that that person's needs will be met. It could be instantaneously, it could be a waiting factor involved. It can be yes, quick yes, or sometimes it can be no, or a waiting period is necessary. So let us learn from, that's why we must learn from what Paul says in also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing, he says. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Well, it means, like the Apostle Paul, your people conscious and God's conscious. And the two goes together when we pray together. The two goes together, people conscious and God's conscious. And here is the Apostle Paul teaching us that God dominates his thoughts. There's nothing else that dominates the Apostle Paul but God's thoughts and his calling to execute his ministry with such the fear of God and the glory of God. And of course, with holiness and righteousness.
Amen.
So this is the dominating aspects of the Apostle Paul. To preach the word in season and out of season. And to pray for everybody. And not just when he feels like to, but he prays all the time. And so the Apostle Paul must naturally pray for everybody. He prays unceasingly for everybody because his thoughts are so dominated by the consciousness of God and the consciousness of the people that he serves and loves so much. Now, he's praying. Well, what is he asking for in his prayer? This is really interesting to know and notice in verse 9. For this cause, we also, I'll just read it also in King James. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, and what does he ask for in that prayer? And of course, to be filled with the Colossians, to be filled with the wisdom and knowledge of God's will. And to desire, now, here comes his desire. Here is his prayer request, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. And we will stop from there for a while. That you will be filled with the knowledge of His will. Pray. Paul says, there's no one thing that I pray for you. And that is that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, God's will. Not just that you might know it, but that it might fill you. You see the impact of that? Not just to know it, but it might fill our minds with it. That it might take you in its control. In other words, you are dominated by that thought. The great object of his prayer to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Let's clarify that term for a while, right there, so that we will understand what we're talking about here, on the word filled. Being filled is that I want you, what Paul is saying. He's saying I want you to be filled. You know, you can know something and not filled with the knowledge of it. I'll repeat that. You can know something and not be filled with the knowledge of it. A man is under the dominating control of whatever fills him. It could be anger or hunger. It could be something that is about the dream you had before in the past and still dominating your thought. It could be a simple thoughts that might reoccur and become an action. It's the thought of being tempted to look with lust, with the opposite sex. And a lot of people are dominated by that, especially those who are unbelievers, who are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it could also be the dominating, glorious infilling of the Holy Spirit. Are we dominated by that? Well, it's a good question to ask ourselves. Sometimes we occasionally ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, but I think it's good to, for our benefits, we must dominate our mind. Let God to dominate our mind, our need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And it's good that when we are dominated by the filling of the Holy Spirit, we are not just for the sake of being filled by the Holy Spirit, but the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and we must long them and to reproduce in our lives. And if some are not there in our lives, it is an imbalanced life. And all Christians should desire to be dominated by the need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And Paul wants the Colossians in verse 9 to be totally dominated. In reading again verse 9, having all this knowledge of the will of God by spiritual wisdom and understanding, that knowledge should dominate the Colossians. That is his always prayer. That's why he's always praying for them, so that the Holy Spirit will act in their minds, so that they will feel in their minds, in their heart, in their whole being, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, so that it will issue, it will effect, it will result in wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then in behavior pattern. In verse 10. And when, look at verse 10 for quick look. And when we are filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is the dominating prayer of Paul, so that every Colossian believers will be filled with that dominant desire to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, so that in wisdom, in spiritual wisdom and understanding to the scriptures, they will grow spiritually and be fruitful in their churches, in their individual calling. All of us have calling in different ways, in giftings. That's why we need the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit will help us to determine our gifts, so that we can surrender that for God's glory and in our usefulness in His kingdom. So the knowledge comes in, the spiritual knowledge, the knowledge of God's will in spiritual understanding and wisdom. When it goes into our minds and our hearts, it affects our hearts and the behavior, and also it turns into behavioral actions, which leads to implementing the Word of God. You see? So even though when we read the Word of God, but if it's not empowered by the Holy Spirit and dominated by the Holy Spirit in filling us, sometimes our own nature would like to really disobey those truths of God's Word. So that, in effect, what He's praying for them is that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in spiritual wisdom and knowledge. That's only completed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in obedience to all God's commandments. Now, talking a little bit further about that wisdom, spiritual wisdom and knowledge, is still in the verse. Still in verse 9. That you might, I don't want to misquote it. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, talking about a bit about this, in all wisdom and understanding, it's necessary that we must be filled with wisdom and understanding. Through what? Through the knowledge of God's truth. Now, the question arises here. Have you ever wondered how you can know God's plan for your life? Have you constantly seek God's plan and God's will for your life? It is a question most Christians ask at some time, at some point in their lives, that they might know what the Lord Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." You see, we are not just granted physical life and spiritual life. God wants us to have abundant life, overflowing life. And that is the joy that Paul mentioned in our reading a while ago. That you might have and experience continuous joy and bearing fruits in God's kingdom. That is in verse 10. So, you can answer that question silently in your own heart. What is God's plan for my life? So, the short answer here is given by Paul in prayer. Through what? Spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding are, according to Aristotle, the philosopher, the three essentials or needs of the intellect: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, which he defines. Knowledge is the practical know-how. Wisdom is the grasp of general principles, and understanding is the critical faculty by which one may discern what is right and wrong in particular circumstances. But, this is the big but the possession of all these three is no guarantee of spiritual insight. It can be self-deceiving as well, because we are following the worldly ways of the philosophical ways of life that were propagated by Aristotle. In one of his own prayers to the Father, the Lord Jesus said, "You have eaten these things from the wise and the learned, and revealed them to the little children, O Father, Heavenly Father." He said in 11:25. And elsewhere in Colossians, First Corinthians, I should say, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the intelligence of the intelligent I will prostrate. So the key to knowing God's will is spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, says 1 Corinthians 2:11. And by the Apostle Paul as well. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11-14. An illustration I want to give before you. You know, Christopher Columbus, he said in his wrote about his someone wrote about his past experience. "It was the Lord," he said, "who put unto my mind. I could feel his hand upon me. The fact that it would be possible to sail from Spain to the Indies. All who heard about my project rejected it with laughter and ridiculing me. There is no question," the father said, "that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures that he read. For the execution of the journey to the Indies successfully, I did not make use of any intelligence, mathematics, or maps. It is simply the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 49. Columbus made use of the scriptures, which not only make one wise for salvation, according to 2 Timothy 3:15, but wise in all the ways of God. By reading the scripture, by listening in prayer, and by praying also himself, ourselves, by studying the circumstances and submitting to the body, the church, in which the people of God gather together in prayer, in dependence also upon the Holy Spirit, we may all discern God's plan and purpose. I encourage you, as Paul encouraged us, that reading Romans 12, 1 and 2 may encourage us tonight in seeking God's will. Romans 12, 1, I'd like to quote to you quickly. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you might present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse 2, be not conformed to this world, that you might be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know, or that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a verse to memorize and to put into practice. Day by day, moment by moment. It's a good thing to memorize the scriptures as we encourage our children. Because this particular helpful prayer verses and encouragement from Paul should encourage us not only tonight, but day by day, we will remember it. So, dearly beloved, God's wisdom is one of our greatest needs. We can't be discerning and discriminating without the divine counsel from our Heavenly Father. And the primary means of achieving that wisdom and knowledge, spiritual wisdom and spiritual knowledge that unlock God's will, is prayer. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. It will be given to you, says James chapter 1, verse 5. Now, to illustrate in ending this teaching of Paul about prayer that will dominate our minds, is to fill our minds with the will of God by spiritual wisdom and understanding. And this is I think some of you know this man. In 1838, when a young missionary candidate preached his very first sermon while on probation, he managed only one sentence in his preaching. When he said, "Friends, I have forgotten all I had to say." Can you imagine how humiliating that may be? It was suggested that when he apologized to the public, where he was asked to preach, it was suggested that the young man had evidently missed his calling and mistaken God's will for his life. Many years later, the same young man, after traveling 29,000 uncharted miles and preaching to many thousands of African villagers, was found one morning on his knees in an attitude of prayer. He was found dead. Well, as it been said of David Livingstone, that nothing fitted his life so well as his departure of it. At his Mills House home, now a museum in Blantyre, Scotland, you can see the wax seal he used on his letter. Inscribed into it are the words, "Christ in me, the living stone." And that's the secret. And the utmost secret is found in also, which he learned, which the Apostle Paul teach us tonight in Colossians 1:9. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." May that dominate our desire to be not only like the Apostle Paul, but it will lead us to use our example, our Lord Jesus Christ as well, in his prayer life with his disciples. May God bless and encourage us all in the teaching of the Apostle Paul's prayer life. Amen.